Amen. Happy Friday. Hey, I want you to turn to your neighbor on the left and on the right and say, I am glad you're here. Give him a high five. Kleiner, I'm glad you're here. Way to go. Hey, I don't know if you guys know that today is a special day besides Friday. Anybody know what today is? First day of fall. Woo! Wouldn't it be great if fall just turned into the first day of spring? All right. Hey, it is the first day of fall, and so it is hard to be thinking of spring, which seems so far away, but it's going to be here before you know it. And with that in mind, we will be having our annual spring break immersion trips. And with that, we need leaders for those trips. So if you go to grow.hope.edu, there is a leader application form on it that you can fill out, and it is due, Kate, I think by next Friday. So get on it today or sometime this weekend or the days to come, but we would love to have you be a part of those immersion trips. Hey, we have a special day too. Klein is fired up. Chris Klein is here today. Oh, yes. Now, many of you know Chris Klein, but many of you don't. So let me do a quick intro for Chris. Chris is a resident in the area, but he is a Hope College graduate. He is also a Western Seminary graduate, and he is the founder and now director of Clay Vessel Ministries, which is where Chris does a lot of speaking around the country, as well as writing, and he runs the whole show, don't you, Kleiner? You do. Kleiner is telling me right now that I'm talking too much because he's got a 12-minute sharing that he wants to do, so I'm going to pray for Chris. Join us, if you will, and then he has a good word to share with us. Lord, we bless you for our good friend Chris, and thank you for the word that you have put in his belly that he now wants to share with us. Lord, use it to bring about your kingdom here at Hope College as it is in heaven. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome warmly Chris Klein?
The parents of an extremely bright and active 8-year-old girl noticed one morning that she seemed unusually tired. Later they became aware that her ankles were swollen, so they took her to the doctor. The diagnosis: acute leukemia. 18 months and 10 days later, she was dead. And her parents cried, God, why did you take our baby? We live in a world full of suffering, pain, and sorrow. When tragedy comes, the agonized cry of the soul is, why? I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you are dealing with right now. However, I do know this. Many of us here are coming into this place with a burden, and we are asking God, why? Why me? I want to discuss the circumstances that make no sense to us. The circumstance where a child dies. The circumstance where a mom or dad gets sick and dies too early. The circumstance where a college student gets hit by a drunk driver and dies. We have the right to question God then. In such moments we may ask questions like, why, God? Why do bad things happen to me? Are you really there? Does it do any good to pray? Do you care about me? These and other questions arise as we come face to face with tragedy in our lives. How can an all-knowing and all-powerful God allow bad things to happen? Does God really plan these things to happen? These are two questions many of us struggle with. I know this because I was born with a disability. How come I have to have a disability, God? Why can't I take myself to the bathroom, God? Why can't I play a sport, God? Why can't I feed myself? How am I going to serve you? I have been told several times this was God's plan for my life, and as a little child I kind of accepted that. Yet, as I grew up, I started to question that kind of thinking. Let's think about that for a moment. Would you want to follow a God that plans for you to suffer? I know I wouldn't want to follow that type of God, so I started questioning God. There had to be a better answer to this question. Have you been there? Have you been asking God why? John chapter 9 gives us a little insight. Jesus and his disciples encounter a man that has been born blind. Right away, Jesus' disciples ask him who has sinned. Was it the mother or the father? The questions about suffering were being discussed already back then. The rabbis had developed a principle that no suffering could occur without iniquity. They thought terrible punishments came on certain people because of the sins of the parents. These beliefs still hold true today. I don't know how many times I have heard people say, "You must have done something awful to have a disability." Or, "My parents must have done something awful." Hey, while you are at it, we might as well throw my grandparents under the bus too. There has to be a reason for this. Jesus replies in verse 3, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." He contradicted everything that they believed. He contradicts everything some of us believe too. Disabilities, illnesses, tragic deaths, and etc. aren't because God is punishing us for our sins. They happen because we are living in the fallen world. Once the forbidden fruit was eaten, these things entered. Yet, the story doesn't end there. As we continue reading verse 3, Jesus says something that could confuse us. He continues by saying, "But this has happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." It sounds like God planned to make this man blind so that God could display his works, but that is a translation of the Greek that doesn't give it the full, broad meaning. The Greek clause that is used here can be moved around, which gives the answer a much different and more complete answer. It would read like, "Neither he or his parents sinned, but so that the work of God can be displayed in his life, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is still day." This has a much deeper and fuller meaning. It shows that God didn't make the man blind to show his glory. Rather, God sent Jesus to heal the man to show the glory of God. This shows that Jesus has come to renew things and reverse the effects of the fall. It also shows we have work to do too. We have a purpose to fulfill. We can keep feeling sorry for ourselves and asking God why. That is one choice. The other choice is accepting that God is bigger than any struggle or circumstance. Even with our struggle, God has a purpose. We have a purpose. As we heap all these questions together, we suddenly begin to realize that the crucial question is not, why do bad things happen to God's people? The crucial question is, what is the purpose of my life? You see, if you can determine what your life is all about, if you can decide where you want to go, you have a purpose and direction to your life. But on the other hand, if you have no goals, no purpose, if you don't know where you're going, then life to you may seem virtually meaningless. When life seems virtually meaningless, that is when you try to make sense out of things we won't understand. That is when you start asking God, why me? Now realizing what God is saying in Scripture should change our attitude and our actions. First of all, He created us. We are His sons and daughters. We are a part of His family. We are called by His name. Our life is precious. It is a gift from God, and we need to treasure it. We need to live it as best as we can, so that His glory shines brightly out of our cracks. Our purpose is to glorify God through every circumstance. Secondly, we need to realize that we are living not by explanations but by promises. The Word of God, to the best of my knowledge, never tries to explain the why of suffering. To be honest, we will never understand why these things happen. You can read all about the thorn in the flesh that Paul complained about and you'll never understand why. All you hear is the promise of God, my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know what is going on in your life, but if you want to keep asking God why me, you can do that. If you want to keep feeling sorry for yourself, you can do that. Yet, you are going to find feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to take your suffering away. I know God loves you. He is in the midst of your struggle, waiting for you to grab onto Him. Grab onto His promises, and know He has a purpose for you. He wants to shine through your cracks. God's promises are always there to help us overcome, not to become victims, but victors. Not to become slaves of suffering and pain, but to become masters over them. I have realized now the question of why I have a disability doesn't matter. The only thing I can do is to grasp onto my loving God. He says, His grace is sufficient for me. I believe that promise. God has reminded me that there will come a day where I will no longer have to fight my body. I will no longer have to feel pain. I live my life for God and allow His glory to shine brightly from me. It has given me comfort, but more importantly, I have a God-given purpose. How about you? Do you need God to answer your questions? Or are His promises enough? Now we have a choice. We can lie down in the muck and mire of pain, suffering, sorrow, and feel all kinds of pity for ourselves. Or we can get up, walk, tall, and straight, and claim the glory of God by the way we live. Let us pray, please. God, You are mighty and all-knowing. We have a difficult time understanding Your ways, so help us just to trust You. Help us to understand we have a purpose, even with our brokenness. Help us to shine Your glory out of our cracks. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.